Dwight Torres is in the race for Surf City City Council. He's a 22-year Marine veteran. And Mr. Torres, why get into this race?
That's a long answer, but I'll try to make it as short as possible. I mean, I've been a permanent resident in Surf City in 2004. I have a passion for where I live. It's a community that is, the culture of the community is small, quaint town, even though we've grown a lot since I've moved there. When we got there, you might have had population 500. I think we're somewhere to around 2,400 people there today. But we still keep that community culture, and that's important to me. So I want to try to be a part of the team. Since I've been there, I've become familiar with most of the council members that serve today. One council member decided to retire from the service. I've sat with her, Ms. Nelva, for over a week period and talked for hours at a time. And let her know that I love the community, I have a passion for it, and I want to make sure that I work as a team with the council that it exists there today. But really what drove me to make the actual decision to run was after Hurricane Florence. Last year, you know, we were devastated, as you know, and it took a lot to recover from that. But there were a lot of frustrations. And at the very first town hall meeting I went to after we were back open for business, I was the first one to speak, and I did that because I knew that there were a lot of emotions, and I thanked the council, I thanked the police chief, the fire chief, and all the first responders on a job well done. But there were some improvements that needed to be identified, one of which was communication. And the other one that surprised me the most was that we have things like beautification committees, but we didn't have an emergency management disaster preparedness plan. And I suggested that we should take a hard look at that and put one in place. With my experience in the military and working in combat operation centers, you know, we're very deliberate in our response to crises. And I thought that they needed help in that regard. And the council approved. I went back and circled back with them, and we started working on a standard operating procedures. They have since hired a director for emergency management. And I right away went to work with him on the committee to help improve in that regard. So that's kind of how I came to the decision to run and at least participate in solving some of our problems.
So Surf City is more prepared today than it was a year or two ago for another hurricane?
Without a doubt. In just a short year's time, we've managed to come back. Not only did we clean the island up with all the debris that was, you know, piled on there for the months that it did, but this Hurricane Dorian that we just had was an exercise to see what lessons were learned. And I'll tell you that it was a 180-degree experience. The communication seemed to be more centralized and it was more deliberate. We were receiving constant updates, and I thought that the response both before, during, and after was an amazing job by the team. And it was led by Mr. Horn, who's the director for that emergency management team.
Looking at some of the top items on your agenda, one of which is emergency preparedness, but another one is transparency. And I'm wondering what issues you've seen in Surf City that raise that point.
Man, I wouldn't look at transparency as if people are hiding things. I didn't mean to, if it came across as something negative. It's just back to communication, we would hardly get clear outputs as to why decisions were being made. For example, I'd go to the workshops, and it was hard to attend because they were early in the morning. And I think it's the demographic in Surf City has changed quite a bit. It's not your small, sleepy town and retirees, et cetera. And a lot of the council members are retired folks, so it's convenient for them to have a 9 o'clock in the morning workshop, if you will, to work through some of the challenges that we face. So it's more access to the discussion. And even when you do go to the workshop, you can't speak at the workshop. You're just listening. You don't have an opportunity to provide input. And so then the workshops will make a decision to bring those topics to the council for vote. And you go to the town council of the meeting, and then you can't speak while the vote is in process. So it's only after the fact that it feel that I feel that we have that input. But it's, at that point, it becomes, you know, the decision's been made. It's almost like you just don't have a voice. And that's what I meant by transparency, that we should have more access to the discussions that are being had. Not everybody is able to go at a 9 o'clock meeting on a Friday. Most of us, I think the demographics have changed, like I've mentioned. Most of us work. So I would push towards bringing those meetings into open forums after work hours so that it's more available to folks. And that would make it more transparent as to how the decisions are made.
And so that people could actually ask questions and engage in a conversation about these decisions before they are voted on.
Correct, because right now that is not the way the system is set up. It almost seems like, I wouldn't say we're voiceless, but by the time they make the decisions, what can we do at that point? So I would be moving towards, you know, no, a more open forum where the discussions can be had before the decisions are made. That way it feels like the residents in the constituency have more of an input and influence over the decisions that are impacting our town.
I'm guessing in the summer the population grows substantially.
Yeah, correct. Normally, I'd say permanent residents now. You fast forward from when we was population 500. In the winter, you didn't see hardly anyone driving around except my wife taking the kids to surf. God bless them. But where we are today is about 2,400 permanent residents, you know, off-season, week to week, day to day. But during the tourism season, we grow to about 40 to 45,000 that come onto the island and the area.
And,
so that's a large population.
Yeah, is the island set up currently, its infrastructure to support that many people in the summer?
Yeah, without a doubt. There are some known issues that we're working on to try to stay ahead of, because we can support the tourism. What right now we're looking at, and again, I think it's known, and the town council is doing a very good job at staying in front of it, is your capacity for water and the capacity for sewer. And as I understand it, there are 5 wells for the Pender part of Surf City. We're self-sustained with our own system. And I think 3 of which date back to about 1969. They're inactive. We use it as an emergency if needed, and they rarely do that. We have 2 wells that are high production wells, and they produce about 2.4 million gallons of water per day. And probably our highest demand day would be 4th of July when we're in season, and we're roughly using about 1.4 to 1.5 million. So I think we're, even on the highest demand day for water supply, we're at half or just over half. So I think as far as capacity for infrastructure as it relates to water and sewer, we're sitting in a good place.
Beach erosion, sea level rise. You're also big on improving the beach nourishment, renourishment program.
Yeah, in the past, as I understand it, the history has been we've never really had a nourishment program. We've pushed sand around as needed to recover from different storms. This hurricane that we had last year, Florence, really devastated our dunes. I mean, there were some places on the island where you could drive down a road and look right over at the beach, where normally that would not be the case. We had great dunes there for a while. But what we're doing now, we started before the nesting season. We were bringing sand in, kind of part of a private project that the town has, and they ended up having to put a halt to it because the nesting season started, and we got slowed down by having to sift through some of the sand that we were using to make sure it was of the quality required. But we are a top priority for the Army Corps of Engineers to actually build an engineered beach instead of just your standard nourishment, which is, as you know, temporary for storm surges. It's never a permanent solution. You end up doing those over and over again. We will begin the pushing of, or hauling of sand back into the beaches to continue to build the dunes. That's the private project. We're starting that back up roughly around November 15th after the end of the turtle season. But the Army Corps of Engineer project, it's going to cost us 1% And if we get it to of what it would be, because it's going to be federally funded, and we're really just waiting on OMB to release the funds, the Army Corps of Engineers to finalize the design, and then the long-term solution is having that engineered beach so that we don't have to continue to use the taxpayers' money to go after more temporary solutions to the problem. But I think we have that in a box, and you saw that's one of my top priorities. Mm-hmm. And when I make that a priority, meaning that I want to be part of the team that continues to pursue that more permanent solution.
So I understand this. When Surf City has to move the sand around to replace spots, Surf City's paying for it.
That's correct.
But this project being federally funded means 99% of it is covered
by the federal government. That is correct. And then going forward, that will continue to allow us, since now we would be considered an engineered beach, that would continue to allow us to receive federal funding for its renourishment going after in the future. But the key thing is to make it an engineered beach.
Are you happy with the way the city serves its citizens?
Without a doubt. Yeah, I can live anywhere in the world right now. I'm retired. I am working as a consultant for the federal government, but really if I had to make a decision because I was disappointed of where I lived and the services that I'm receiving from, whether it be the police chief, the fire, I have relationships with all of these folks and the town council, all of them across the board to include the mayor and a lot of the department heads in town. I think they all work very hard. They know how much the town and its residents depend on them. And I think they have all done a fantastic job to make the community we all have grown to love and enjoy. So yes, I'm satisfied with their contribution.
Why should John Doe in Surf City flip the ballot switch for you on Election Day?
Well, I believe my experience after serving two decades in the military, multiple combat deployments, I believe that I believe in teamwork. I'm dependable, and my leadership that's been demonstrated through all those years of service, my passion and commitment for helping veterans through the organization Paddle for Troops that I'm a co-founder of with my youngest son. We've just recently had a large event in which in one day we raised over $100,000, and I think that comes through organizational skills and marketing and commitment to something you believe in. I believe in my town. I believe that my leadership traits that I have proven over decades of service, not just to the military, but service to the veterans that we help every day, those qualities I would bring to the seat as a Surf City councilman. And I would look forward to representing them with professionalism, with dignity, and with integrity.
Dwight Torres is running for the Surf City City Council. Thank you for coming in.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much for having me.